Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. This one that you hear will be aired today. This is December 23rd. It is Monday. It's about 8:39. It's 2 days before Christmas, and Bob, hopefully nothing crazy happens in the 2 p.m. game between the Maple Leafs and the Carolina Hurricanes.
Afternoon games are just chaos.
I love them, except for when we're recording a podcast.
There's going to be a lot of people home today, if the 501 streetcar is any indication.
I was going to ask you, the gardener seems much lighter.
Yeah, it's quiet out there. I went into the coffee shop near your place, Dark Horse Coffee, delicious place, and no line.
Yeah.
No line. So, and it's actually peak coffee time too, because we're recording this, what, like 8:30 in the morning?
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, it's quiet out there. So people can be home. It's almost like the World Juniors pregame.
Yeah.
Way, like getting used to watching hockey in the middle of the day.
We will do sports. So this is sports, actually.
Actually, I've got some creepy stuff to talk about.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
One thing with the World Juniors, to everyone listening, I'm going to let you know a secret. Beyond maybe four people, no one knows nothing. It's great. You'll sometimes hear us gas bags, and you'll hear the same lines. And when the gas bag, whether he or she, when they say a line like, well, you know, the great thing about the tournament is no one knows any of the players, and there's always upsets out there. That means, like from Ghostbusters, you didn't study.
Nobody is better at this game than Bob McKenzie.
Oh, but he does work.
But here's the thing. By this game, I mean knowing a ton and talking like you don't know anything.
Mm. Oh, okay. That's a different one. Because what I'm doing is they know nothing. Most gas bags know nothing, but they talk like they know a ton.
Right. He knows a ton and talks like he knows nothing.
That's why he's
good at his
job.
That's why he's the sensei.
Yeah.
He's the Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Of gas baggery, as you like to put it.
Yeah.
I love that about him. I heard him on, I think it was Landsberg's show about a week ago, and he's like, well, you know, it's a short tournament. The team is put together. Basically, they'll never play together again. Nobody really knows.
Yeah.
And it was great, because then he proceeded to speak so intelligently about the things he didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. About some guy like Barrett Hayden or something. That's the only name I know, the guy from Arizona. And I think I got his name wrong. But it's a light day today. But what's the creepy thing you wanted to get into?
So I go into your washroom, and people know that your house around holiday time, any holiday, is festooned with holiday stuff.
Can I just...
There's even more now than there was. We got to be over 100 pieces of Christmas.
Oh, yeah, from last week to this week, yeah. So can I just say it, Bob? Was Santa staring at your dick?
Okay, so I go into the washroom, and I'm standing there utilizing the washroom.
Yep.
And there's this about, I don't know, like, what would you say? Like
a foot 12, and a half?
Yeah. 12, 18-inch Santa
in
full Santa garb.
Yeah.
Like the beard, the hat, the everything. And it's on top of the back of the toilet.
Yeah.
And staring right at you.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like the height is more or less you would expect it to be.
The eye line is... The eye line is what the people say today is problematic.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel triggered.
Yeah.
So have you talked to Amy about why it's not a good idea to put a foot high guy at penis level on the back of the toilet?
You know, you really think I would have? I think I'm just desensitized to it all. I'm like, all right, there's Santa.
Like, staring at my dog. Santa over there in the corner.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm just pointing to the corner of your condo. It's only about maybe 3-4 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
But he's looking away.
He's looking away.
He's like a dude on the bus.
Yeah.
He's looking away. He's not making eye contact. Maybe you need to get Santa in the toilet a phone.
And
it'll just be on the phone.
Oh yeah, give him a smartphone. Or also, but yeah, that the Santa in our bathroom, that's in that bathroom there. That's the Santa that talks to people at the urinal.
Yeah,
even strangers. Yeah,
that's the Santa I think would come to life and kill you all in your sleep.
Yeah, that's a tough way to go. Like, I don't think you want your final thought being, is Santa murdering me?
You know what? I do, and here's why.
Okay,
because I understand via rumor everybody goes someday.
And been told.
So I would like to go in a really stupid way, so that when people talk about it, they're like, nobody takes it too serious.
Right.
Like people used to go, I'm terrified of shark attack. Are you kidding? You've been selected by the universe to be awesome.
I don't know if the shark attack would elicit laughter.
No, 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 but it would be special.
It would
and
be
memorable.
Cool. Yeah, like the laughter is the, you know, grandpa, you know, and grandma's been dead for years. It's key for this. The next part is grandpa died, you know, with a hooker, you
right.
know,
right.
you know, like something like that people would laugh at.
So here's the way I hope to go.
Okay.
And I heard this, and this is, I don't know, maybe it's an urban legend. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I believe it really happened because it was on the internet. And it was the dude, pretty rich, and he's having a 50th birthday party.
Yep.
And someone popped the cork, and the cork hit him in the head.
Yep.
And caused him to die.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah. That really happened?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so good.
Mm-hmm. Now make that 90.
Death by celebration
and
cork.
And I'm down. Oh, absolutely.
Well, I could see you actually going that way.
Yeah,
you're the only person on the planet for whom that might be the odds-on favorite way.
It's Vegas has it off the board right now. When actually, when you get taught how to open up sparkling for mm-hmm. for a variety of different wine exams, your thumb has to be like once you start to loosen the coil, the coil comes off the top like that little skeleton little cage there. If your thumb at any point is not over the top, you immediately fail.
Okay,
immediately.
Okay. Do you fire the cork at people ever?
No.
Why not?
Well, because you don't know exactly where it's going to go. B, if someone's not paying attention, they could hit them in the eye or worse, die.
Yeah, but that's kind of the point. Like not the killing part, but yeah. The sort of they're not paying attention and you hit them with the cork.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's fun. But no, I've never done that.
Okay.
I've never done that.
Do you think you could shoot with any degree of accuracy? Like if you were like if I was, say, 8 to 10 feet away, do you think you could hit me?
I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that just practice?
Yeah.
You exactly. took the reps?
Yeah. I've done the reps.
Are you the gym rat of the sparkling world?
I'm the Malcolm Gladwell. I've got the 10,000 hours.
10,000 bottles.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Well, I want to get to Christmas wines with you in a little bit. But
sure.
Like, honestly, we had so many plans today, and they were totally derailed by yesterday, which was like the craziest day in sports.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the Jays? Do you want to start with the Leafs and the benching of Nylander? Do you want to start with the Raptors and the comeback?
Well, the craziest is the Raptors.
The house's choice.
Okay, let's go Raptors. The craziest is the Raptors. You don't expect, and I'm just pulling up my notes from this because there's a lot. You don't expect the greatest comeback to have it to be those guys on the court.
Right.
You know, where it's Patrick McCaw starting and playing 26 minutes. It's Boucher and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson playing 24 and playing 29 and being key down the stretch. They're down by 30 with 2:32 left against a Dallas team that had beaten Philly just recently.
Mm-hmm.
That game, I found out the Raptors won on the drive home from my brother Scott's big Christmas dinner. We had the game on. We saw the score. Click. Let's laugh at the Cowboys. And then in the drive home, it's like, Matt, Toronto won. That's how I found out.
I found out in the car on the way to Landsberg's place. We actually went and had dinner at Landsberg's house last night.
He mentioned you on the show today.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great time. They're such a nice family. Anyway, so I get this text. And, you know, they're down so much at the end of the third.
Yeah.
And there's so much to do in preparation of Christmas. So I just flipped out. I thought, okay, like this is just, you know.
Moving on.
Yeah, 1 of 82. What are you going to do? And then I get this text from my buddy Ihor, my obsessed
of course.
Professor friend.
Yeah.
Who we should have on the pod sometime.
We should.
We should start to expand our world like Bill Simmons does, like, you know, get our Joe Houses of the world
yeah.
out there.
Oh, absolutely. We may have, there's actually a good chance we're going to have a cameo appearance today by a friend of the show.
Awesome. I love that. And also,
a couple.
We got one with Jonas coming up.
Yep. Jonas
Siegel's going to
When you hear
by.
This one, there'll be one recorded with Jonas Siegel from The Athletic. It'll air later today on Monday, the 23rd of December.
Okay. So I get this text that just say, did you watch the game? And I thought, oh, shit, did someone get hurt? Because I just thought, you know.
Yeah.
I clearly wasn't thinking, oh, they came back.
Yeah.
So what else would solicit a text that said, did you watch that?
Oh, yeah. See, thank God I PVR'd it. I PVR'd the game. And so I started it. And the great thing is, I started it at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So I just got the joy. You know, if you watched it live, I mean, I guess if you watch it live, the payoff's better at the end because you have all the agony. I had none of the agony, and I just got to, I knew what was going to happen, so it was great.
All right, I have a really serious and important question for this time of year.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of places to go,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of parties and
yeah.
such. And also just errands to run. It's Saturday, and there's 5 minutes left in the Bills game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills get the ball.
Yeah.
And they start to drive.
Yeah.
And my wife says, okay, we got to go. Because there's a Christmas party happening with
yeah.
her and her friends. And we've got dinner. And it's true. We're late. We do have to go.
Oh, you're already late.
Right. We're already late, and we're into life overtime.
Yeah.
But there's 5 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
So, and then yesterday, you know, I wind up missing the giant comeback.
Yeah.
Because we have to somewhere to go. What are the statutes of limitations on saying we have to finish watching this game before we go and do our life stuff?
Here's what you do. Take like a something that's stainable. Just throw it on Charlotte when no one's looking. And go, Charlotte, you spilt on your dress. Go upstairs and change. That should buy you the time you need.
How did you come up with that so quickly?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. It was like now I feel like if I was a CIA profiler, yeah, I would make you an agent.
I'm Winston Wolf, you know, in this case. Okay, I'm going to solve this. Oh, so your wife, Sandra Pacheca, you guys are already 15 minutes late and you got to go. Okay, quickly. Do you have some root beer? Can't be Sprite. I need something dark. And yeah, then that's a tough one. But do something where your daughter is now delayed.
I'm watching on ESPN Game Center because they have the play-by-play breakdown on Saturday
as we're
on our way to the party. And I see all of a sudden, oh my God, they're inside the 20. Like, this is insane. This is like, they're going to go to OT in Foxborough. This is nuts.
I have thoughts on that final drive.
And we'll get to
back to the wraps.
And then all of a sudden, I see Josh Allen sacked back at the 16.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no.
It was the play before that we need to discuss.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll get back to that because we're talking raps. So here's what fascinates me about that game. It wasn't about X's and O's. It wasn't about roster construction. It wasn't about cap management. It was about one thing and one thing only.
Kyle, MF, and Lowry.
Well, yes, but in the bigger picture, it was about narrative. It was about willpower. What I tweeted out yesterday was...
That's a good tweet.
That was an example of all the things that we say sports can be about, but it usually isn't.
Yeah.
It was just guys saying, we won't lose.
Yeah.
We won't quit. And it's why we love sports.
Mm-hmm.
I love Nick Nurse. And you can say, oh man, instituting a trapping defense on a team that was, you know, deficient in ball handling. Oh, that's very smart.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Because the only way that win happens is when you have guys who are the kind of guys who win those sorts of games. And that's why we love the Raps. And that's why we love sports, I think.
Oh, God, yeah.
Not to make it too grandiose, but...
No, but that's exactly it. Like, you can put the sweeping, you know, song, you know, music underneath, you know, like from, like, Remember the Titans or something. Just the music that's used in sports movies, you could have used that in that fourth quarter.
Bruce Arthur from The Star had a great tweet. He said, highlights from that game will be in Kyle Lowry's retirement video.
Absolutely. 100%. He was 1 for 8 from three going into the fourth quarter. He missed his first three in the first 30 seconds of the fourth quarter. And then after that, 20 points. You know, 20 points, 2 assists and a rebound. And it's, you know what it felt like? It felt like every Kyle Lowry basket led to a Mavs timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ultimate sign of respect. You hit a basket, the other team's like, uh-oh, he's hulking out. We got to get a timeout here. It was a joy. It was a joy. The defense. And it's, you know, there's so much of that game.
I have a way to describe those timeouts.
Mm.
You know that feeling when something really stupid and crappy happens and you just take a sigh and you take your fingers, you kind of make like a little triangle out of them and you pinch that fold of skin that's just above your nose.
Yeah.
At the bottom of your forehead.
Yeah.
And
yes.
You go. Those timeouts are that sound.
Mm-hmm. That's is that the sound you make like... Like when, you know, like we'll go back to Charlotte. When Charlotte's like, I don't want to go to school. I just want to study chocolate.
Well, the freaking kid spilled root beer on herself.
I know. And then you were stuck watching the rest of that game. Stupid daughter of mine. She's so klutzy. Dad. It's a good idea. Just saying, keep it in mind. Just have some dad's root beer ready
for
it.
You are the genius of evil.
Thank you. So beyond Lowry, the roll call of heroes.
Yeah.
One is Terrence Davis.
Seriously.
Like, he made three, like, but he made a three-point early, made another three-pointer soon after, 9 points, 2 rebounds. His 1 assist led to a layup by Ronda Hollis Jefferson. So here's a guy who's an undrafted rookie, and he was critical in the fourth quarter.
What we're seeing with the Raptors now is a bunch of DeLon Wrights. It was appropriate they played the Mavs yesterday. And here's what I mean by that. DeLon's a good player. Plays really good D. If DeLon had a consistent jump shot and he could create his own offense even a little, he'd be a very valuable NBA player. As it is, he's a valuable NBA player because he's got some skill and he plays great defense. And
yeah.
He's smart and he works hard. And I kind of feel like our young guys, that's who we're going to get out of them, right? Like Boucher, Terrence Davis, Malcolm Miller. If you can develop them to be as good as a DeLon Wright, A, valuable for your team,
yep.
B, valuable for someone else's team, which means you could trade them. And it's just found gold. It's found money. Like, how many guys like DeLon Wright get drafted? What was he, like 22nd, 25th overall, something like that?
He was low.
In the 20s that year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of those guys don't make it.
Oh, no.
And they certainly don't have value.
Yeah.
If you can find value at that spot, oh, man, that's how winning is done.
It's a team filled with value with a couple stars.
Right.
That's who...
And that's who we are in 2019, 2020.
A shout out to Chris Boucher. There's 1.6 seconds left. The Raptors are up by one. He makes both free throws.
Right.
You know. It's the Raptors need guys to play above themselves. But they're going to need to do it over and over again until, you know, Powell and Siakam the most and Gasol, until these guys come back. It was an incredible win. It was a great night of basketball.
I feel like, in a lot of ways, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he's not my favorite Raptor, but he's my favorite Raptor storyline this year.
Mm.
Because it started looking like the year as a total free agency washout. Just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse calls him out. And they've been rehabilitating his usefulness to the team the whole season. I could totally see him getting traded.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he's going to sign a deal that's worth something at the end of the year. Good for him, though. Because I want the Raptors to be the kind of team where free agents look at and say, I need to rehab my image. And they're good at getting guys big contracts next.
That's Miami Heat.
That's
the Miami Heat. It's that culture there. So yeah, the last time a team came back from 30 points, it was a decade ago. It was almost a decade ago to the day, and of course that was the group that did it. All right, what do you want to hit next?
Well, this pod's
a little bit shorter.
Yeah, I would say let's fire through a couple topics here. I want to talk about Christmas with you.
Sure.
You're obviously a big fan.
I am.
It's not like you guys to celebrate.
No.
But
every now and then.
This is a special one for you, though.
Cut loose.
I got a couple of questions.
Yeah.
One is, what is the best Christmas food?
Well, the classic answer would be turkey, but then you could say, well, turkey is also something you have at Thanksgiving.
Right. So even though, see, turkey at Thanksgiving is more special, I would argue, because you don't have it again after Christmas.
Right.
But we've just had turkey.
We just had turkey.
Yeah. It's great.
It's lovely.
I'm very happy.
So then I was going to say stuffing, but that falls under that.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
I have an answer, but let's cycle through a few. Okay. Cranberry sauce can be put into that category.
Yeah, I was just thinking cranberry sauce. That goes there. The mashed potatoes.
All of the things that you would put on the Thanksgiving table don't really work here.
Yeah. Yeah. So then what's something that's Christmas that isn't Thanksgiving?
I've got an answer.
What's the answer?
Cookies.
Mm, yes.
Thanksgiving is not a sweets-based
it is not.
Meal. Now, of course, you got pumpkin pie, and that's nice, but it's different than cookies.
Yeah.
Shortbread cookies.
Yeah.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
You walk around, it's like having a drink at a party.
Oh, yeah.
You have a cookie in your hand all the time.
All the time. And then there's some bowl of chocolates it is much more of a dessert-based time of year.
It's an underappreciated part of Christmas, maybe because now we have toys, but when you read these old-timey stories of Christmas and it's like, oh, the sweets and the kids with their sugar plums.
Yeah, and the kids, you know, their big treat with an orange.
Right.
By the way, once again, thank God we're not around a couple hundred years ago. So what did you get? I got an orange, you lucky son of a bitch.
I had a wooden marionette
and
an orange.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we don't think about it anymore because now we've got
everything.
Nintendo Switch and so on and so forth. But the kids used to get tons of sweets.
Yeah.
And that is written into the DNA of the holiday.
The way that's encapsulated is the 43-year-old man at work at 10:30 and he's eating a cookie.
Do you mean you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean me. But I shaved a year off.
Right.
The 44-year-old man,
it's funny, the cookies will add it back on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so funny. It's like, in April, I think we talked about this, in April, I would never think about, it's 10 in the morning, time for a cookie. But close to Christmas, it's cookie time.
Shortbread is amazing.
It's so good. And it doesn't feel Unhealthy?
Because it feels, it's got bread in it.
Yeah.
Right? Like it feels closer, it feels like a hybrid snack.
Yeah.
Like it, but it's all butter.
Oh, no.
It's just it's, all butter and sugar.
Yeah. Yeah. It like, it looks sort of like the root vegetable of the cookie world, but it's not.
It's, I'm actually shocked you don't have cookies out.
Well, it's early. Amy's away. People are coming over tomorrow. If you were coming over tomorrow, then things. And by the way, we bought candy cane fudge for some people coming over. So it's all ready.
While we're talking about this, because we have a lot to get through, and we're trying to do a shorter one today so we can do a second generic pod for our break.
Mm-hmm.
So two or three really good Christmas wines. Give me one for Christmas Eve. That would be a meatless dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple for Christmas Day. Because people are going to want to buy wines. They're going to people's houses for gifts and stuff.
First and foremost, sparkling. Everyone forgets about sparkling. Go get sparkling. And it's Christmas. Spend a little bit more money, but not a lot more. It's a wine I've talked about before. It's called Cremant. Mm-hmm. C-R-E-M-A-N-T. You can get it from $19 to $23. And it'll taste fairly close to champagne at one third the price. You know, everyone just gets the same Prosecco that's usually a little too sweet. So go for Cremant.
And you like Cava too.
Yeah, I like Cava, but Cremant's even better.
Okay, cool.
Then the Cavas you get at the LCBO because they're usually fairly genetic. Apologies to the few good ones that are out there. And then in terms of, I'll give you a white and red for the white. I'm trying to think of something different because I've mentioned Chablis and things.
Is there a good Francis Ford Coppola wine? I just like the idea that he makes wine.
Yeah, the director's cut. Yeah, the director's.
Is that a red or a white?
That's a red. It's a red blend. So it'll be like Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, that kind of stuff. Okay. Maybe a little Cab Franc thrown in. I'm going to go with, actually, let's keep this local. Get Ontario Cab Franc. Whether it's Taws or like, doesn't matter where you go, but get yourself, like, find a good producer, get yourself an Ontario Cab Franc. The grape handles the cold really well. Thus it works well in Southern Ontario. So go with that. And then
can you throw out a sweet suggestion? Cause we talked about cookies. What would be like a good cookie wine?
If you're going to do ice wine, again, you're spending a little bit more money. The Vidal is more of the more inexpensive grape. Actually, I'm going with the same grape again. Oh, it's all Cab Franc. Cab Franc-based ice wine is my favorite. So, and they'll be there. It'll just be a little bit more expensive, but you can get Inniskillen and whoever you get, and there's plenty out there. So go get a Cab Franc. Go get a Cab Franc ice wine, and get a Cab Franc red wine.
Okay, so just quickly to recap, for Christmas Eve, a nice white is
it'll go with the sparkling.
Okay, right. Cremant, right. And then for cookies, it's...
Mm-hmm. It's Cab Franc ice wine.
Okay, and then just for generic Christmas Day show up...
Yeah, just go with the red Cremant, a red Cab Franc.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, cool. Yeah. Do you want to do the Jays or the Leafs here?
So the Leafs...
Or football?
First for the Blue Jays.
We got to do this here.
No one makes fun of them or rips them more than I do. Mm-hmm. This is great. They go get Ryu from the Dodgers, who was, you know, like second in Cy Young voting, started the All-Star game, like 32, 33 years old, but, you know, had a great year this year. They spent some money on a pitcher. We now know who the opening day pitcher is. Call me old fashioned. I don't like the opening day pitcher to be three relievers because I'm a fan of the Rays. I want a real number one starter.
I thought, just in interest of star power, that that Vlad Guerrero is a dark horse candidate to start.
Why not? Get the knuckleball going.
I'm not Buster Olney, so I'm not going to do like an analysis of Ryu, because we all know that would be bullshit. But I will say, like, it was pretty exciting because I follow the Dodgers. It was pretty exciting watching him become the Dodgers' best pitcher and take over from Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
He was the key to their success last year. Well, not, that's an overstatement, but he was really, really good. What I find interesting about this signing is how excited we are because it happened. Like, there's actually no baseball analysis involved in anybody's mind. Like, he's a guy with a long history of injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's heading towards the wrong side of 30.
Yep.
It's the third largest free agent contract handed out in team history behind Martin and Vernon Wells. And I was reading like on FanGraphs, and it looks like we overpaid by about $20 million.
Every pitcher was overpaid for.
Understand. But if this was like a sports thing,
mm-hmm.
people would be like, I don't know. But it's not a sports thing. It wasn't even intended to be a sports thing. This is a PR thing. It just says the Jays are back in the game.
Good. It should be a PR thing. Sports is about entertaining the fans. Do you think any fan has been entertained for the last 2 years beyond some Bichette, Biggio, and Guerrero at bats?
No, and to your point, I think that they know that.
Yeah.
And also, like, you're looking around at the Toronto sports dollar becoming much more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got this young core of great players.
Yeah.
Or potentially great players. They can't just botch their way through the next 2 or 3 years.
The opening day starter couldn't be Chase Anderson or Matt Shoemaker or Tanner Roark.
Right.
It cannot be those guys.
No, it can't.
Like, they still need one other legit arm, but this is great. Like, I'm happy. I'm excited as a baseball fan, and all I've been with the Jays is just cynical and snarky.
What I find really the most compelling about this is what this does for culture in the city. Like, in that Jays clubhouse, because you've said this a lot of times, like, there, at a certain point, it's not beneficial for young players to be around losing.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay for a year or two or whatever, but you just don't want them to get used to a poorly run team.
Yeah. And I know the example you can push back is a lot of the stars on the Astros went through a bunch of 100 lost seasons. I don't know.
Then they had to jump in a lot of veterans.
Yeah.
Like Verlander and.
Yeah. Because it just feels like the scar tissue of losing I think it stick with you. I think it can linger. And just I'd rather the young guys learn, succeed, and fail when the stakes are a little bit higher than well, as long as we're ahead of the Orioles, we're fine.
Yeah, it's a 4x20 deal. And I honestly think I wrote down in my notes on the way over here, it's really about the next 2 years. Because if he's shit in the back half of this deal, like, hopefully the Jays are good enough by then. You kind of don't care.
Yeah.
But in the next 2 years, you want that young core to experience a little bit more success and to start growing and taking over the team on their own.
Yeah.
Like, when they win the World Series, Ryu is not going to pitch games 1, 4, and 7.
Mm-hmm. No.
In the final.
No, but you'd hope he's 3 and he's a guy coming in for relief in game 7.
100%.
Yeah.
But what you do hope is the three guys that you mentioned are at the core of the lineup and amazing.
Yeah.
So everything is about develop that young roster.
The Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Josh Allen, they're down 24-17.
Yep.
And by the way, on the front end, let me say this. The Josh Allen touchdown pass to Josh Brown, you know what I loved about it? He had pressure. He was going to get hit. So he threw that ball in duress, and it was a perfect deep pass. Loved it. So that makes you happy. Then there was that final drive. They have the ball, second and goal, around the 6-7 yard line. The tight end, something D Knox, I forget his first name. He's open. He's done his job. He is wide open. By NFL standards, two steps in the end zone. And Josh Allen badly misses him. It wasn't where, oh, the ball hit the finger. It's like badly missed him. Third down sack, fourth down incomplete. New England wins. So Josh Allen gets a little bit closer, but fails the test. New England could have come back and scored afterwards. But you have, if you are going to be an elite quarterback, you got to do it in the red zone. Look at Russell Wilson's numbers in the red zone. You have to complete that pass when the receiver and everyone else did their job. You didn't do yours.
All right, so I'm going to throw this out here. I don't disagree. And you're right. The pass that was missed, that's where the winning is done.
That's where the winning is
done.
Those
are the passes you have to make.
We focus on the sack on third down. Focus on the incomplete on second.
Okay, so...
By the way, that sounded really football smart there. Like, don't focus on the sack on third down, Bob. You got to focus on
whenever you tell someone where to focus.
Yeah.
It's a little totalitarian, but it really makes you sound so impressive.
It really did.
Okay, don't focus on the throw. Focus on the footwork.
Yeah. Now look at what the right guard is doing. All right, yeah.
I used to do this on Chum FM with Marilyn and Roger all
yes.
the time.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Like, I would tell people, here's how you fake a conversation about this. Like,
yeah.
just say this.
And oh, yeah.
You'll sound smart. And it's probably even true.
You always did those hits. I got to do them once or twice. I always felt like I was being called up to the big time. Oh, I'm on with Roger, Rick, and Marilyn. Got to be my best behavior.
You know, it's like...
Polish it. Get the good stuff. You get the good material.
You would not think that a guy like me would love that show.
Yeah.
But I did, actually. Yeah. I loved that show.
You don't work new material with Roger, Rick, and Marilyn.
No,
You're getting the polished stuff.
No, I was definitely getting the call up.
Yeah.
So,
Bills, that...
Yeah, I think that in some ways, though... It's part of the progress, and we're so obsessed with young players being good right away that we forget. Like, he did fail that test.
Yeah.
But he's also playing a New England defense that is really good.
Yeah.
And in Foxborough, in December, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're playing to win the AFC East Conference title and get second seed overall. So there's something on the line for them, too.
The stakes are incredibly high for New England.
And they didn't get blown out after a first half where they didn't look very good.
Yep,
they actually came out in the second half and looked a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the final drive.
They were.
And they were playing probably the most seasoned team in football history in a situation where they were at home and they had not the upper hand because they didn't have the ball, but they had the upper hand in the sense that they were playing with the lead.
Yep.
So Josh Allen missed a pass. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that because maybe next time he makes that pass. What I loved about it was, and you've talked about this lots, about the quarterback has to be the CEO.
Yeah.
He had the wherewithal to keep his team close enough on the road in a key game that they had a chance to win.
Oh yeah,
and that's huge progress. And I,
you're right. Like the growth.
He didn't fail the test. He passed 9 out of 10 tests.
He passed. Like first off, the growth from him in that the first game against New England to this one, it was big. He was much better.
Much better.
Much better. So yeah, there are certainly things to be happy.
Also,
for.
There's devaluation on the New England side as well.
There is that as well. But just when he missed that pass, I just felt bad for Bills. I'm like, oh.
But you know
that's
what?
The one you gotta
the
hit.
Bills are in the playoffs.
They are.
And also, like, here's my sneaky backdoor reason why I loved it is because right now they're fifth mm-hmm. in playoff seeding, mm-hmm. which means that they're going to get Houston as opposed to Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not realistic to think they're going to be.
No, they're not being Kansas City.
Right.
But you can beat Houston.
I feel like they could beat Houston in Houston
yeah.
more easily
yeah.
than they could beat Kansas City in Kansas City.
Yeah. I give them like a 2 out of 10, 1 out of 10 in KC, 4.5.
Three to four.
Just
Deshaun Watson I don't, at home's going to be good.
He is, but I don't trust the Texans.
Neither do I.
I have no idea about them.
Also, with the Bills, not to turn this into Bills talk, and I appreciate that you're giving me this forum.
Do it.
But Josh Allen doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good.
Yeah.
And he just has to not cost them games. I agree with your analysis. Mm-hmm. I did focus on it,
mm-hmm.
and you were right.
Like, that pass, I'm not asking him to make the crazy, you know, thread the needle, three guys in your face. But that's just what any quarterback has got to complete that pass.
All right, so we got stuff to do. We've talked cookies, Christmas wine. We've gone over your creepy Santa.
Yep.
We've done all the sports. Leafs? How much time do we have left to talk Leafs before we turn this over to
five
our...
5 minutes.
Okay, let's do it then.
Yeah. And again, sorry, whatever happened in that Carolina game.
Yeah, we don't know.
By the way, this guarantees Nylander's getting 4 goals.
Or benched.
You know why Nylander is the most polarizing player among the fan base and the media?
Why?
It's actually really simple.
Because
he's polarizing on the ice. Like, his play is polar. Like, why is it? Because on Friday, he's got 2 goals and assists. One of the goals was kind of lucky. But the other goal, he scored it in close. I'm like, oh, he scored in close. Hooray. And then the next game with progressive, nice, friendly Sheldon Keefe, he's benched for a good chunk of the game. And then on the third line, by the way, Kapanen also has some responsibility of this as well. But Nylander's, he's polarizing.
I've got a nickname for him.
Mm.
I'm inspired by this.
Mm.
He is the Polar Express.
Yes. Which, by the way, I don't understand people don't like that movie.
It's a shit movie.
We have no time. We have no time. We could maybe save that for the next
so
one.
So overrated.
We'll save it for the
year in review?
Episode. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think what's interesting about this is we've seen Sheldon Keefe now give Austin Matthews limited minutes in the Edmonton game when he wasn't playing well.
Yep.
We saw him basically bench two of his better players.
Yep.
And I think this actually makes us feel good in the sense that it's not all just going to be fun practices and happy post-game press conferences.
Consequences.
And these guys are still growing, so there's going to have to be accountability.
Yep.
What I wonder about is, I'm not making this thing I'm about to say because of the benching of Kapanen, but it feels like he's the most likely to get the boot out the door.
Mm-hmm. At the deadline. Yeah.
You know?
Because they got, like, you know, Engvall, they got all these other forwards who have played well or well enough that, yeah, Kasperi Kapanen has become, he's become expendable.
Yeah. Expendable and commodifiable.
Yeah.
He's a commodity that's worth it. I think that Myrtle and Siegel have done a good job of talking about Kapanen on their last pod, and also Jonas's Monday Notes on The Athletic. Kapanen's ability to play the off wing just isn't there.
Yeah.
And that hurts because they do have a surplus on the right side. And then his penalty kill minutes are coming down.
Mm-hmm.
So he has value, and Myrtle did a great job of describing how in his conversations, other teams find Kapanen's talent enticing.
Oh, yeah.
Which means you can be trading on prospective upside.
Well, you go, hey, look at what Connor Brown, he's got more production with Ottawa, and Kasperi Kapanen is more talent than Connor Brown. And, you know, these forwards, they're going to There's so much strength there that, yeah, you take him. He can help your team more than he can help our team.
It's funny. I thought about this. The much maligned defensive group, who would actually get replaced if you did trade Kapanen for defensive help? Like, you don't need help on the left side.
Yeah.
And on the right side, they're not going to demote Barry.
Nope.
I can't see CeCe sitting in the press box. And Justin Hall's been good.
Yeah.
So who goes?
It's funny. The elevation of Hall has made everything better.
He's been really good. And him and Muzzin, we've talked about this. They're the Tavares line of defensive pairings in the sense that we don't talk about them as much.
Yeah.
But they take on the hardest assignments. And they're probably the key to the whole thing working. Like, you want Riley and Barry to be liberated.
Yes.
By the space the other guys create, in the same way that you want the Matthews line to be liberated by the space that the Tavares lines creates.
Yep.
I'm actually really perplexed by this right side thing. Like, they need depth, obviously, because if one of those three guys goes down, there's no help coming.
Martin Marinson's like, okay, I'll get called up. All right, I'll go back over here.
All right. Where's my travel bag?
Yeah, it's a good thing it's a 20-minute Uber ride, so I'm okay.
Feeling good about the Leafs.
Feeling better.
Yeah.
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 It's hard not to.
It could just be, as they say, dead cat bounce.
Yeah. But it's you know what I liked about the win over the Rangers?
Hmm.
They didn't need Freddie.
Yeah.
Freddie Anderson wasn't great. He was kind of poor. But they only allowed 22 shots. I want some of those wins. I just want some wins where at the end of the day we're going, oh, Freddie, save them. Like, I think we're going to need Frederick Anderson for today's game because it's the third game in 4 days.
Right.
And Freddie, had an extra day or 2 days off. So I think today's going to have to be a Freddie win. But again, I don't want to talk about it because the game's done by the time this is
fair enough. And I feel good because Tavares looks better and Marner looks lots better.
Yeah.
And those guys, I think we're learning as the team goes as they go. When they're really good, it creates havoc for the other coach.
Yep. Before we end, I want to give a shout out to our friend, and he's our lawyer, and he's a sponsor on the show, Jeff Pollock, jeffpollock.com. Who is he? He's our lawyer, and he should be your lawyer. You might not need a lawyer now, but eventually you will. And it's not for something dramatic. It just could be for a will, for something mundane, or you might need something serious. In either case, the guy has won many awards. He's in some highfalutin law societies that I know nothing about, but he's a super nice guy, and he's really talented. If you need a lawyer, jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, Jeff Pollock. 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088 is the phone number. Any final thoughts, Bob, before we go?
Just that if you notice over the last 5 minutes, my ability to speak is falling apart. It's because my coffee's kicking in, and I think my synapses are being fried by the extra coffee I had this morning. So let's see how the next couple pods go.
Perfect. Bye, Bob.
Got a call coming through here.
It's on my phone.
Wow.
Bye, Bob.
Bye. Chica.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.